Hi there, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Well Workplaces podcast with me, your host, Tom Bosner. Today, we've got a special episode lined up to kick us off in 2024, where we'll be talking about the key skill of situational leadership. But before we dive in, remember to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode with us at the Well Workplaces podcast. Now, here's a little bit about our guest today who joins me all the way from Sweden. Her name is Jessica Hill-Holm, and she's a leadership and executive coach and the founder of Hill-Holm Coaching and Consulting. Now, with over two decades of experience, she specializes in helping leaders and teams unlock their true potential. Jessica incorporates the principles of Swedish excellence and combining her experience in leadership and competence development with a really deep understanding of international business dynamics. She's worked with some renowned companies like H&M, Nordea, and Sandvik, as well as business incubators, startups to create successful organizations. Jessica's customized coaching solutions emphasize authentic leadership, clarity, and the pursuit of excellence. Welcome to the show, Jessica. How are you?
Well, thank you so much. Well, I'm good. Thank you.
Thanks for staying up so late. I know it is midnight your time, which I've just discovered. It's a comfortable 10 a.m. for me here in Australia. But thanks for staying up so late. I would be in bed and I don't know how you are going to do this, but well done.
Well, thank you. You know, there's been a lot of coffee before this show, so that's good.
Hopefully you can sleep afterwards anyway. But yeah, yes. Thank you. Appreciate your time. And it's a new year. Obviously, everyone's kind of going back to work. I know for a lot of leaders, maybe they ended last year feeling a little bit exhausted. I personally, as a leader in my business, I probably got a little bit tired towards the end, and I've had about 3 weeks off, which is a long time, and I'm feeling relatively refreshed. But I guess, like all people, I've got a little bit of, productive paranoia about how things are changing, the speed of change, and kind of always aware of that. There's a little bit of awareness for me as a leader as well around, I guess, the macro factors that might influence our year, such as, you know, the global economy, perhaps, yes, or the rise of AI and how that might disrupt or continue to disrupt us in our own business. Finally, you know, the other consideration that I've got coming into a new year, and by far it's the most important consideration, is as a leader, how can I engage the people that I work with in a really good way so they feel like, you know, they're on board with what we're doing. The mission or the vision is really clear. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the biggest thing as well for on the people side of thing and the human leadership or the human element to the whole thing of leadership is how can I simplify things? Because I feel like it is a noisy climate at the moment. We're all dealing with it, leaders. That's talking just personally from my own experience. I'm wondering, with the types of leaders that you coach, what's the common themes are they talking about with you at the start of a new year?
Well, of course, there's a lot of, leaders who talk about goal setting and, you know, like you said, mission and vision and so on. But also what I've lately been talking about with a lot of leaders is leading change, because what you just said, there's a lot of things going on in the world and there is, also a lot of changes. So that is one of the challenges leaders have, to lead change. And, you know, how do you stay resilient through, you know, challenging times as a leader? Because you are both a support person for your employees and you're going to run the business. You're responsible for the business that you are, you know, in charge of and so on. So there's a lot of, you know, things on their mind at the moment, I would say.
Yeah, I guess it feels like juggling a lot of balls at once, I think, for a lot of people. And, you know, that's probably always been the case, but I just feel like maybe the last few years, especially, the speed of change has really increased. Yes. I was reading something the other day, which was referring to I guess, the rise of AI. And I know that's not the purpose of chatting about what we're chatting about today, but, you know, the prediction, I guess, is that AI will impact about 40% of jobs worldwide. Yeah. And whilst businesses will continue to try and automate processes and leverage AI, I guess for the thing that's constant though is people side. So there is the, yes, the need for leaders to enhance their people's human skills as well, and the yeah, soft skills and the hard skills of just simply communication as well. So super interesting times, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Jessica, with obviously I'm from Australia. We're probably about 15,000 kilometers away, or yes, about a 24-hour flight from you. I couldn't be any further away from you physically. So it's great to connect so far away. With Sweden, I'm wondering, yes, how would you characterize the leadership style of Sweden? I'm sort of interested to see if there's anything, because I personally have never been, and I'm interested.
Well, you know, Sweden, I would say that we're known for our Swedish leadership style, or that would go under that we are a lot for consensus, inclusion, and we're also known for work-life balance and so on, due to the fact that we have, I would say, a situational leadership style is one of the things that a lot of Swedish leaders are using. And we also have a lot of self-leadership. We are employees also have a lot of self-leadership. We talk a lot about that as well. But I would say that the one thing that Sweden is also famous for is our flat organizations. If you look at IKEA or H&M or Sandvik or big organizations like that, we are not so, you know, built in with the hierarchy like in different other cultures, I would say. So there's different things that makes us maybe a little bit different than other countries.
Yes. Okay. Well, that makes sense. I thought it might be the case with the flat type of organization, yes, structure. So I guess in the scenario where there's a manager in inverted commas talking to someone that is one of their direct reports, as yes, you know, in other areas of the world, they might put it. It sounds like there's a sense that there's respect between both parties and both are seen as equals. Is that sort of how it would work? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. You got it. Fantastic. Totally correct. Yeah.
Do you think that provides, when it comes to adapting to change, do you feel like that model or that leadership style has its advantages in terms of adapting to change?
Yes, I personally believe so. I think that both that you can adapt to the different situations that come up, but also to the different team members that you have. You can adapt because all of us react differently when it comes to change or get affected differently, so to say. And as leader, then if you adapt your leadership style, you can meet the different needs and what the employees want. So I think that's a really good advantage. And it doesn't mean that you don't take decisions or you don't lead or you take lead in certain things. But, you know, I think that it's easier when you do that, you get a bigger engagement from your team members.
Mm. Yeah, it sounds really positive. And I guess, Mike, just to share my experience in business and leadership as well, as going back maybe five to 6 years ago, I was running a business and it was quite big in size, lots of employees. And I felt like we did need a bit of more of a structure where there was direct managers and we had about six or seven different teams. And I was sitting overarching those teams. And in terms of effectiveness for me, I actually found it really difficult. And also the speed of the adaptability of the team was slow, but I think it was really because of the way that it was structured. And now in the current, in today's world, our business is, we've gone really quite, I guess, lean, small and flat in terms of our yes, team. And I think the engagement and the performance of the business is just better. And personally, as a leader, I feel better because I can talk to every single person and get a really quick feel for how things are going rather than trying to, I guess, not isolate yourself, but try and sit away from the team a little bit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's the maturity thing on my part, but also maybe just the way businesses have changed in the last, say, 5 years or so.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to agree with you. I think so. I think that we have seen a lot of changes within leadership and businesses, and especially in, you know, now I'm in Sweden and, you know, we work a lot with this, but I can also see in different cultures that they talk a lot more about this and also authentic leadership and, you know, different kind of leadership styles. So that's really positive, I would say.
Mm. Yeah, maybe it's a byproduct of, as well, of going through the last, 2 years, the COVID, the pandemic, and like, I guess, leaders either really struggling and maybe just opting out, or actually becoming more human in their approach and having really being forced to connect with their people in a more authentic way, I guess, because everyone was under the same circumstances.
Yes.
Jessica, what about, so we're talking about situational leadership. Yeah. And going into this chat, I hadn't really heard of it in its full sense. I've maybe heard the word before, but never really thought much about it. Can you share a little bit with our listeners as to what it is?
Yes, I would say it is a theory that is based on 4 different levels, and that is directing, coaching, supporting, and delegating, which means that you act differently when it comes to your team members or your employees, depending on where they are in their development curve, so to say. That's how I would kind of explain it in an easy way. So for example, if you have a new employee that you need to onboard, you need as a leader to be more direct, maybe more educational, and to help this employee to kind of, you know, get into their new role and so on. And you need to maybe help them with the expectations and so on. And then, you know, in the end, when you have worked in a role for many years, then you might not need that kind of support from your manager in that way. Maybe you're self-confident, self-going in your role, that maybe your manager can support on, or, you know, he can or she can delegate a lot of tasks to you because you're so mature in your role. So there's different approaches to where you are as an employee in your role, if you're new or if you're, and also if you have, for example, that someone is maybe not so engaged, maybe then you need to have the coaching approach instead to kind of get them engaged and maybe help them to find their own solutions instead of going in as a leader to give them the answer. So there is different, you know, times for different situations, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. And I think for a lot of leaders, they might be really strong in maybe a couple of those areas, but perhaps might struggle with some of the other ones as well. So for example, I'm just using myself as an example. I'm probably better at the supporting coaching areas. And especially earlier in my career, I wasn't very good at directing or delegating, because I felt like I wanted to keep everyone happy, which I think common problem, probably still struck that now. Do you find that that's pretty consistent with, like, is that common?
Yes, I would say so. And especially when you're new in your role as a leader, like you said, you just, you know, said how it is. I meet a lot of leaders that, you know, they want to make everybody happy. They also want to be likable, and they don't want to disappoint anyone. And they think also, sometimes people have a lot of high pressure on themselves. So they also put that, you know, I'm supposed to know everything. I'm supposed to have all the answers. And that is not how it's supposed to be as a leader. We're supposed to do it as a team. And that's where you have team members. They're there to help you. But yes, of course, I see that a lot, like you said. But also, that is why we have, you know, coaches that can help leaders to develop and become better at directing and, you know, delegating as well. Because leadership is also some a skill that you need to practice and learn. It's not something that you're born with, you know. So
yeah, that's really interesting. And I think would a good exercise for leaders at the start of the new year, would it be to almost profile their team and kind of go, okay, this person needs a bit more directing because they're new.
Yes.
This person down here is more experienced and mature in their role. Let's start delegating with them. Is that how you would, as a leader going into a new year, is that something that you would recommend?
Yes, I think that could be a really good exercise because I think that, you know, as a leader, you can challenge yourself as well. And I think that also by doing that, you would see your team members grow and develop, and probably also you would get that engagement in the end. So I think that would be a really good exercise.
Okay. Good one. I'll note that down for myself. I probably should do that myself. When it comes to adapting to change, and we talked about at the start how fast things are moving in the world, or at least how it feels as a leader, but also just people. Everyone's feeling the speed of change. Do you have any specific examples where situational leadership has been effective for some of your leaders in terms of helping them adapt to unexpected changes?
Yes, I think that probably I have to think a little bit, but I think I had one leader that there was this situation where they need to kind of cut down on staff and that is not a fun thing to do, but due to recession and things like that. And then you have to kind of make a plan and you need to talk to people and, you know, it's quite hard decisions. And in Sweden, I have to put in that we have employment laws that kind of protects. You can't get rid of people in 1 week and so on. However, you know, when you're going to deliver these kind of messages to people, you have to do it in a different way, depending on the person you have in front of you. So I think that is one thing that I have helped the leader with, that how do you deliver this kind of message and how do you do it with this type of person and so on. So I think that is one thing that I have helped a leader with.
Yeah, it's a really good example, actually, and kind of links in with what I was saying at the start, which is that all leaders having a bit of awareness of the economy or the macro factors that might affect business. And one of the biggest challenges for leaders in the last couple of years has been the need to downsize and lean up their business and then having those difficult conversations. There's also a really, I guess it was a comical example of a leader telling their staff to come back to the office, which was in the US, and it's been in the newspaper here in Australia, and they put together a video, which was basically come back, we need to return to the office because things are better when we're together, that kind of thing. I don't know if you know what I'm referring to. And it was just a bit like the way that was communicated and the thinking around that, to kind of go, this is a really good idea to communicate on mass volume to our people. Of course, that wasn't going to work.
No, it's not. And I think that also due to the pandemic, we have learned a new way to work. Yeah. We know that this way, we can just look at you and me at the moment. You're in Australia and I'm in Sweden. We have this, great conversation and it works. So of course, people got used to that. And I think that if you want to get people back to the office, you have to do it differently. Then you have to make them understand why, what is the purpose, why are we doing this? And they need to feel, because when you look at change, it's not organizations who make the change, it's us, the people. So you have to make them, you know, feel the why and the purpose. And I think that we have learned that we can work like this. So they need to come up with some different communication if they want people back at the office, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. And the one I'm referring to, and I'll have it in the show notes because it's just a really interesting link. It was the business called WebMD, which is the parent company and the CEO, not to name and shame anyone, but just the approach was really weird. And I was just like, as I listened to it, I'm like, why would you communicate this en masse to your people? It almost felt a bit threatening as to, you got to come back because it just works. And we've come a long way, as you say, and leaders have adapted and as have people. I guess as well, Jessica, the thing with new ways of working, I guess, is probably the way to put it, or working remotely, or, you know, talking with you as well. I guess the big challenge for leaders, and I've had this in my business because we work hybrid, we sometimes catch up. A lot of the time we're flexible working with clients on site, or we're connecting each week on a Google Meet call. The big challenge though is connection with people in the workplace. So like, and not just connecting as in with the phone call or a video call, but like real connection. So genuine connection. I'm wondering, with your experience with the clients that you have, like how does situational leadership help build trust in the teams?
I think that, you know, the most important, you know, skill that you need to have as a leader is, you know, to be the ability to listen. So kind of listen to the team members and listen to the needs, but also to have like one-to-one. Let's say you have a remote or hybrid, you know, follow-up, listening, have those small check-ins, not every day maybe, but every week to see. Because I think that, you know, when you meet in person, you have the body language, you have eye contact, you have different things. But when you see over remote like this, it takes longer to kind of get that feeling, so to say. But to have those small check-ins, to have those short meetings, I think that you can learn that connection by doing that as a leader.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think as well, the touch points or the in-person contact throughout the year, I feel like in my experience anyway, and in our business, where we did last year was we did about four in-person like social catch-ups. So all the work being done during the week, most of it was online or remote and occasionally together. But then what we made sure was that four times in the year we caught up and we brought the team together, and we're doing the same this year, and basically starting with that and kind of always constantly communicating with our team going, do you feel like this is enough socially in your life to keep things feeling good? And then, and the response was yes, but I feel like we need one more in there where we're doing a working meeting more so than just a social catch up. So the beauty of, I guess, leaning up your business and being a bit flat can be that the leader can just go, hey, what do you think? Like, how are you finding this? How are you working? Do you need more? What do you need more of? And it's just so much easier to work that way.
You can get a lot of great ideas and great support, and you're not alone in all the tough decisions or when you need to come up with ideas. That's why the team members are there to get their input, and that will be maybe the best, even a better result than if we would come up with it ourselves as leaders.
Yeah, that's right. And very guilty of that in the past, of you make decisions based on what you think is right, but then when you implement it, it doesn't even land at all, and people are like, why are we doing this? So it's kind of like getting people in on the journey with you early in the thinking process, and then tweaking plan with their input.
Yes, and I think by doing so, you also are more effective, because when you sit on your own in your own office coming up with an idea and then it doesn't land well, you have to go up and come up with a new idea. Instead, you have the people along the way with you, and then you can, you know, be agile and twist and so on, and then in the end you're probably going to have a faster process.
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably just going back to, I guess, leading a team, one of the challenges that I think people struggle with, and it can just depend on where you're at in your leadership journey, but how do you balance different leadership styles? Do you have any, I guess, common examples or just some interesting cases where the people that you coach have really struggled to balance and wear different leadership hats with their team, and how did they overcome these challenges?
Yes, I think that, you know, of course, you have behaviors and you have your natural leadership style, so to say. And sometimes you need to practice it, you know, different leadership styles to become better, of course. So that is also, you know, challenge a lot of people that I have coached and are coaching. For example, if you have a person who is very direct and talks a lot and likes to take decisions, it can be a challenge to be more creative and coachable. So I think that maybe is where I have met that they are struggling a little bit, because I say in general, and I do like this now because, you know, of course, we're all unique and we're all different, but some people or some leaders tend to be very fast, you know, want to have, you know, speed, efficiency and so on. So they think that they want to do it themselves because they think it's the fastest way. And that is probably where I coach people the most, that they need to take a step back, as, you know, be more supportive, coachable, but also delegating, because they think that, you know. So maybe that's it. I don't know if I answered the question, but that's where I see the challenge when it comes to leaders from my point of view.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think a lot of leaders would say, you know, this is just be easier if I get it, I do it myself, sort of thing, which actually defeats the purpose of leading a team, because the idea obviously is to grow people, and which then makes your job more easier. And I guess in your situational leadership theory, you then get to the stage where you're delegating, which then makes it much easier, or you're more supportive. I think maybe during the, not to talk about COVID or the pandemic too much, because it's long, long gone, and we don't want to dwell on that. But I think for some leaders in that point in time, maybe they were the ones that were direct and fast and efficient. They probably went, oh, what do I do here? Like, how do I be supportive, but also not get emotionally too involved to the point that I'm burnt out? Because that the statistics and the surveys through the research through Gallup was showing that managers were burning out because it was almost being, well, they needed to be empathetic, but it probably came to the detriment of their own personal well-being. So it's a real skill to be able to balance all that. And I haven't figured it out.
No, it's hard. And it is, you know, you have to kind of, to have that balance, you kind of have to have good foundation and a good structure, but also to ask for help, but also have like maybe a mentor or a coach, because you sometimes need support in which you can't take with your team members or maybe even your own manager. So it is important to have a good foundation and have a lot of planning, because then when you have like crazy days, or, you know, feels like you're firefighting, it is that keeps you grounded, so to say, because you can deal with those, you know, high workload in short period of times. It's not good for you over the long run, as you know. So have a good foundation, I usually say, the good planning and a good support system. Because it, you know, we see that, and like you said, you know, leaders are, you know, we can see in Sweden, we have a lot of leaders that get burnt out, and there is, especially when you are like in a line manager, like when you're in between, so to say, you get squeezed in the middle. So you see that it's tough for them, and they also, we cannot forget that they also are, you know, employees, and they are human beings as well. So it's important for them also to have a support system and take care of them. So
that's right. That's right. I guess the constant challenge is the kind of what we call the technician, or the person who's really good at their job, and then comes the point of promotion. Now you're a middle manager, and suddenly your peers that you used to talk with / vent to, they're not really there anymore, because they're probably reporting to you and maybe talking about you at the back. So So for that middle manager, yeah, it's super important that they've got their own level to speak with.
Yeah.
And also their mentors as well. I've stuck that up myself in structuring our business, and also have been that person where I've felt like I've worn all the hats and all the responsibility. Yeah. Really, I'm the middle manager. So yeah, a tricky position to be in. Jessica, as we kind of go into a new year, as I said at the start, and then as we sort of look, I guess, maybe a couple of years ahead in leadership, what do you think, just as a final thought, I guess, what do you think are the main skills for leaders to focus on or some areas that they should be aware of as we lead into the future?
Well, of course, since I like the situational leadership, of course, I think that's important. But authentic, I think listening as a leader, also to be coaching as a leader, to have the coaching approach, I think it's important. But also, if you look at organizations, I think that hybrid is here to stay. So I think that we also need to be open for that, but then also find ways to kind of connect and keep that connection between humans, because that is, you know, very important. For me personal, I have found that I really like to meet people in real life, and I get my energy from there. So I like to be at the office, but I don't have, like, you know, 2 hours to drive, so that, you know. But, but that is one thing that I found out after the pandemic that I really missed from before the pandemic. So I think that I read somewhere that that is also something that's coming back, that people are want to see each other in real life also. So hopefully that is also.
Yeah, for sure. And the data supporting hybrid in Australia is there to support that. But there are some companies that are talking about how they're doing 4 days in the office and everyone's attending at a high rate, and they're enjoying it. But the age demographic of this business that I'm referring to is actually younger, and in that younger group, they actually need the social connection, because we used to go out for Friday night drinks straight after work, and it was a perfect time to socialize. But I don't think it really exists anymore. So for leaders, it's like you said, it's communication and finding new ways to communicate, but also kind of being that person that brings people together socially, I think is a huge, it's a really easy win as well for leaders to be that organizer. Perfect. Well, Jessica, thanks so much for your time today. I really enjoyed the convo, and so impressed with your ability to stay up so late and talk in a second language too.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a really nice conversation, and it doesn't feel like it's, past midnight. So that's how much I enjoyed it.
Oh, thanks for saying that. That's great. Thanks for tuning in to another Well Workplaces podcast. If you've loved the show, it would be fantastic if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or feel free to follow us on LinkedIn or Instagram and search Well Workplaces or my profile, Tom Bosner. If you would like to hear more about our exclusive events and more about the Well Workplaces community, feel free to email me directly at tom@wellworkplaces.com.au, where I'd love you to tell me who I should interview in the future podcasts. This podcast is really built on community input and built on the aspiration of inspiring healthy change in every workplace. Thanks for listening.